It's 10:15 in New York, and this is Martha Dean, and good morning, everybody. And I hope that each and every one of you has a nice holiday today with all the family plans coming off perfectly according to plan. Before I tell you about our guests on the Martha Dean program this morning, I'd like to remind you to always to turn to the front page of the New York Times. This is a very good way to start the day, I think. And when you read the Times every day, you do know what's going on. You get all the news, and you get interesting feature material, too. If you've been reading the Times regularly, you know, of course, where the charred hulk of a motor yacht recently yielded $15,000 in precious gems. And you know what famous biologist warned his fellow scientists to beware of discoveries that could alter human life. And you know what kind of seasonings to put in Chinese pork and beans. You know all that. You know a lot more, too, if you've been reading the New York Times every morning. You keep up with what's going on. This is a newspaper that circles the globe to bring you on-the-spot coverage of all the news. But in addition, the New York Times brings you something for fun, something for just light dinner table conversation, and a lot of odds and ends of information that sort of add to the spice of, well, your head. So there. Read the New York Times every morning. I think you'll enjoy it, and it costs very little extra to have it delivered to your house or your apartment. If you call them up, they'll arrange for home delivery quickly and efficiently at very little extra cost to you. Then I want to tell you again about Niagara Cyclomassage. What these people have done is combine two age-old tension relievers, heat and massage, in one relaxing, soft, comfortable pad, Niagara Cyclomassage pad. And those who often feel tension caused by overwork or poor posture in the back of the neck and the shoulders and the back will be interested in this new drugless method for helping to relieve nervous tension and minor aches and pains. If you've done too big an ironing or if you've leaned over a desk too many hours, Niagara Cyclomassage will take care of the aches and pains in the back of the neck and through the shoulders. And if you have trouble going to sleep at night, try Niagara Cyclomassage for 15 or 20 minutes. And without pills and without drugs, you'll probably drop off into a deep, relaxing, natural sleep. An excellent product. It has a good housekeeping seal, but a good many of us at WR have tried it now over a period of many, many weeks. And we like it, and we think you will, too. The thing to do is to ask me for the literature, and then I'll have sent to you the catalog and the literature, and you can then decide what you want to do. Send a postcard to me, Martha Dean, WR New York 18, and just write on it, Niagara, and I will have the Niagara Cyclomassage catalog and literature sent to you right away. And now here are Jean Porterfield and Lisa Chickering, and I'm delighted you're both here. I'm glad you came back to this country long enough, at least to appear on the Martha Dean program before you take off somewhere else. Are you about to do that?
Well, no, it's sort of good just to be back in the United States for a change.
Because you were gone 3 years.
Yes, we were, and it's very good to be back after 3 years.
And you just got back.
Yes, just in July. We arrived on the West Coast.
But tell our listeners, Lisa Chickering, about going away, because when you left for Paris, you intended to stay 3 months, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. I was going over for a singing engagement in Paris, and we were very excited because Jean and I grew up in Chicago together, and as children do, we always plan faraway places and trips, and I asked her if she could go with me, and she said yes, she could.
Oh, I was delighted at the opportunity to go to Europe, because I'd wanted to go all my life.
So you two played together as children?
Yes, we did.
And thought about faraway places when you were just little ones?
That's right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when we were children, our family sent us out to play, as families do, and we proceeded to dig a hole to China from Chicago.
Yes, they said, I guess, to get us out. You know, China happens to be right under Chicago. So we proceeded to tear up the nice flower patch in the yard, and that wasn't very good.
But finally, 3 years ago, you went to Paris for 3 months.
That's right.
So that you could sing.
That's right, yes.
And Jean Porterfield just went along.
Yes.
I just went along to see the sights of Europe at the time.
Mm-hmm. But now go on, then what happened? Why didn't you come back for 3 years?
Well, of course, that's a 3-year story, but the job that I really went to have, that is, fell through. upon arriving. And, of course, you can imagine my discouragement. I said, well, we've got to go back. And Jean is the optimistic type. She said, well, no, I think that we can make out here, and let's try to stay. So she took over the, well, you'd call it the managerial side of it, if that's a new word. And she worked out a show, and we started one country after another.
Didn't you have great difficulty booking talent ahead in a foreign country?
As a matter of fact, in the beginning, we did. We first did some army shows in eastern France and western Germany, and we met other entertainers who told us about writing to the various hotels that used entertainers. So I sat down and wrote letters to the places I'd heard of in Rome, over in Spain. Well, I started first, just one, Rome, and they said, come on and put Lisa to work.
Mm-hmm. So at least we got then from Paris.
Yeah, well, Paris to Rome.
How long did you stay in Paris then, unemployed as you were?
Well, about 2 months, really, because we had gone with the intentions of staying about three, and naturally we had saved up enough for that, and you can live reasonably once you get over to Europe. It's not the most expensive place. On the contrary,
it's
very reasonable.
And we did live very reasonably.
So you had money enough for Paris?
Yes.
Yes, we managed.
Well, now, when did you
stay in Paris?
What I really want to know is when you ran out of the money you'd saved.
Well, then a job, fortunately, was waiting in Rome at the Villa Rosa down there, and that was a 2-month engagement. It turned out it was only going to be for 2 weeks, and luckily they kept renewing the contract.
Very much, so they kept us down there for 2 months. And during that job, I rode on to a place in Spain and got another job that took up after the one in Rome finished.
Well, now, how did you live and what did you do in Rome when Lisa wasn't actually working? What was it,
a nightclub? Yes, it is. But I knew a girl there. She had worked for Powers when I did here in New York.
You were a Powers model?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she was doing beautifully over in Rome modeling, and she had this darling little penthouse. And she had to go and do some fashion shows off in Berlin. And she said, you want our apartment? So we couldn't have been more delighted. We got our apartment and a little maid. Of course, we couldn't communicate with the maid at all, but we could. We learned to say
sign language.
And she went out and did the shopping. And we lived up in this penthouse, which was just wonderful.
Well, that worked out very well.
Oh, beautifully, yes, it did.
It was wonderful for
us. And then did you have time? Were you able to see all the things you'd wanted to see?
Oh, yes, and Italy is just the most beautiful country, and the art is unbelievable.
That's Jean just loves art. Of course,
yes.
I do, too, but she's been
there. I was up in those museums. When the doors opened, I was there, and if Lisa wasn't too tired from working the night before, she was there, too.
Did you both study the language?
No, not Italian. We studied Spanish. We ended up studying Spanish.
Because you went to Spain next.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I went in to see the agent in Spain about getting more work down in southern Spain. And he didn't speak any English, not a word. So in the beginning, I got an interpreter, and with the sign language and interpreter, we lined up a lot of work for Lisa down in Gibraltar and Tangiers. But this experience with the agent made us both want to learn to speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. So we went to school in Spain and learned to speak Spanish fluently.
There's a course over there Americans can take. You know, it's the University of Madrid. You can go and take all courses in art, literature, history. Of course, it's all in Spanish, so you have to learn the language.
And you did go to the University of Madrid?
Yeah, so we went to the university.
Got little diplomas.
And learned it and have our diplomas. We're very pleased with ourselves.
We ended up staying there. Can you imagine? We stayed there 8 months.
In Spain?
In Spain, yes. Just loved it. Had a little apartment. All our Spanish-speaking friends that didn't speak any English. So
we had a lot of work out of Spain, and we went over to Portugal and worked in Portugal. That kept us there quite a while.
You know, this manager of yours, this Jean Porterfield, is quite a girl, because it's a neat trick to keep a singer working all the time in her own country.
Well, that's true, but the talent to work with. Lisa hadn't been as wonderful as she was and such an entertainer, none of it would have come by either.
But it is kind of amazing. A little thing like that is able to get enough engagements in a country where she doesn't speak a word of the
language. I know. I was always amazed how she did it. She'd say, well, now I will get something here. Don't you worry. And we'd just suddenly fall in love with the country and want to stay. And she'd say, well, I'll go see the agents. And I'd say, but you know, you don't speak the language. Oh, well, they'll understand, she'd say. And she'd go in and she would always come back. I think we have a job.
Of course, once they saw Lisa and heard her sing, that did a great deal, too.
Yes, you had something to work with. So you had 8 months in Spain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then down in Gibraltar, it was my first experience singing for an English audience. And they are the most wonderful audience. And they said, you must go to England. Well, of course, that was another country. After Spain, we had full intentions to return home. And we'd write home, we'll be home soon now. But we wrote ahead to England, to the agent there, the top agent. And he said, come on, and we'll hear you. And if
yes,
it's
I remember
right,
he wrote back, if she's good, she'll work. So we proceeded
to stay in London.
5 months.
Yes.
Where in England?
London. Just in London.
You were in London 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
Again, singing in a nightclub?
Yes, singing in a number of the supper clubs
too.
And yeah. Television there. And it's a wonderful place. Just lovely. And we were going to come back, and then it went on and on and on.
Yes, we managed to work our way all the way to Japan.
Well, to China.
Yes, where we started from as children.
And not by digging a hole from Chicago either.
Well, practically.
Well, now after England, what?
After England, we went to the Middle East. We wrote to, where was it, Lisa?
Well, it was the Istanbul Hilton Hotel.
Oh, that's right.
And, of course, I thought, now this is really far-fetched. You know, this was the finest hotel in Europe and just a beautiful place. So anyway, the letter went ahead, and they wrote back, we'd be delighted to have you. And so we took off for Istanbul, but we always went via, if we had a direction to go to and knew a job were waiting at the end, we would take a circular route. Instead of going directly, which certainly wouldn't allow you to see much, we left from Athens. Well, of course, there's a whole new story on Yugoslavia we must tell you about, but we drove through Yugoslavia to Athens, and from there took a plane all through the Middle East to get to Istanbul, and then back to Athens to pick up the car and go on back.
Well, now let's stop right here at Yugoslavia, because it's a little unusual, isn't it, for two American girls to drive all the way through Yugoslavia?
Yes. It is.
We were warned not to do it.
Yeah.
We were told that the roads were not adequate and not to try to make the trip.
Well, there aren't even roads.
Yes, they aren't roads.
We had a Volkswagen, which is the most wonderful car, and we got in this little car, and we left from Trieste, and we started down. We only were able to secure a 3-day transit visa, and it's 1,000 miles to go. And in a Volkswagen, that's a long distance. And they said, you can't possibly make it. And so I said, well, if we don't make it, what? And they said, well, if you don't make it, they're going to put you in jail in Belgrade until we can get you out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, we said, well, we don't believe that.
We never discouraged anybody.
We don't go to jail in our family.
No, nobody. So anyway, we started out. And after Belgrade, the road got worse and worse. Until there wasn't a road.
It was just a mud
Nothing.
Path.
So I got out. There was another hobby in this traveling of taking movies. We have 10 hours of colored movies of this trip. And I was out there, fascinatedly filming this town that I had never seen anything like it, with the Cyrillic alphabet and the Serbian-type dress and the curlicued toes of the shoes. And suddenly, a voice spoke very harshly to me, and a hand grabbed my arm. When I turned around, I looked into one of the angriest faces of a soldier I've ever seen. But still being still a little optimistic, I gave Jean the camera, which she was about 2 feet, and I could quickly get this. She got a moment of an arrest, and at that moment, another soldier stepped up and arrested her, and we were taken off to jail.
They didn't really know. They didn't know what
we were doing, and they took our passports from us, pulled out. In fact, it was at gunpoint they took us off because we were most reluctant. We didn't see any reason. We were Americans. Why? We weren't doing anything. Why they would take us to jail?
And then Lisa had the bright idea that we should run for it. Just turn around and run. Which I thought was
Jean said, well, right. That's a wonderful idea, but they have our passports.
And also, they'll shoot us in the back.
But it never occurred to me they'd do that.
So this was in Belgrade?
No, this was
this
south.
Was after Belgrade.
After Belgrade.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
About 150 miles.
Just a little village south of Belgrade.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, how long were you in jail? Tell me about the jail.
Oh, they detained us about 5 hours.
Which was a terrible
detainment.
And we were
very frightened and nervous.
Mm.
And, we just sort of sat around this station not knowing what to do or who to talk to, and these men would come out and look at us. And, you know, they couldn't read our passports because their alphabet is different than ours. So the passport made no sense to them, really. And all of a sudden, about after 5 hours of this, Lisa just said to this man, now, we are going, in a very determined manner. This was it. We are going. And suddenly they handed back our passports and let us go. We never did understand exactly what took place.
Well, I think they thought we maybe were important. With a sudden attitude of, we are going, because we had been afraid before, and they had been treating us rather badly.
Did they take the camera?
No.
No,
thank
luckily.
Heavens. Hmm. We thought they would probably take the camera and all our film. Well, we didn't know what they'd do.
Well, now, wait a minute. You had only 3 days to get through the 1,000 miles, and you've already been 5 hours
in
jail. So,
we were very nervous and upset.
Mm-hmm. And then we came finally to the end of the road, and it turned into literally a mud cow path. Now, there was no way to turn back because the time was such that we wouldn't be able to reach the Italian border. So we kept on going, and finally, even a river crossed the road.
It was raining,
we drove
too.
Through the river, and we just made it within 1 hour at the border, which would have been quite a bad thing, needless to say.
Were we ever glad to see Greece?
Yes! And their roads are paved in Greece. In fact, it's sort of interesting. Later in Burma, through friends in England, we were very fortunate to stay with the British ambassador and his wife in Rangoon. And they knew we were terribly interested in meeting all these people, so they took us to an embassy party. And we met all the different ambassadors, the Russian ambassador, the Japanese ambassador, and the Yugoslavian ambassador. So we very enthusiastically told him that we had just been through his country. And we had driven through to Athens. He said, oh, you couldn't possibly drive through to Athens. We're trying to get money to pave a road so someday the tourists can drive through to Greece. And so we said, well, we did it. And he was quite astounded.
Well, I suppose he went right back and canceled the order for the road. And said, if these two kids from Chicago can drive through, why waste money on a paved road?
That's right.
And then you were in Athens where you were supposed to. Then you were in Greece and you were supposed to be there.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there, which is a magnificent experience because we had always when we would enter a country, we would arrive with lots of books to read about the countries when we were there. Because, you know, ancient history, to me, used to be, I'm ashamed to say it, but it used to be a bore, but now it has become the most exciting thing because you can't sit under the Acropolis and read about ancient Greece without really feeling it and loving it, which we did.
Say Athens was one of my favorite places of all. It's just a beautiful city.
Hmm. Hmm. Did you meet a lot of people? Did you have a chance to talk to people who lived there?
Yes, we did. We met many, many Greek people. Mm-hmm. That were very lovely and hospitable to us. It would be funny, one woman, she was so nice, and she said, it was after church, in fact, this woman said, would you mind just dropping me off at my house? And we said, well, of course not. Why, get in. And she said, another woman spoke up, well, could you take me just by my house? Well, their houses turned out to be 50 miles out in the country. Could we just drop them off? And we were driving all day long, dropping our little friends off. But they were very sweet, wonderful people.
It was a wonderful
way to
see the country,
too. But they were thrilled to have somebody with a car that could take them somewhere.
Because the car is an unusual thing.
Well, except for the taxi drivers there. They all have beautiful American cars.
We were so surprised to see these beautiful new cars way off in Athens, Greece. Because they aren't that way in Europe. They have their own... Mm-hmm. Hmm. Cars in Europe, but in Athens were all these beautiful American cars.
Taxis.
Yes, they were the taxis.
And it was a little strange because all through Athens we never passed cars on the road. And then all through Greece. That is, from one end to the other, there were no cars on the road. And suddenly you get to Athens and it's filled with beautiful American. In fact, it was the first time we had seen the new cars out with the two-tone colors.
Very different kind of fleet owners in Athens.
Yes.
Well, now let me interrupt you for a second or two, with a minute or two, with a shopping list I brought along, and then we'll leave Greece and go, well, wherever you want. And this is a suggestion for, well, winter coat shopping. Right now, over at the Flemington Fur Company in Flemington, New Jersey, their 37th annual sale is going on. And again, they offer especially low prices on fine furs and cloth coats. And later in the selling season, November and December especially, fur prices will be much higher, and fine choice merchandise will not be in great supply. By buying now, you will save as much as a third over the late fall prices. The important furs for the season are mink and Alaska seal and natural sheared beaver, natural sheared raccoon, Persian lamb, and let-out muskrat, natural river otter, Siberian squirrel, mouton lamb for schoolgirls. They have everything, a complete selection over there, beautifully styled of the finest quality in fur and at their famous low prices. The cloth coat selection is the largest they've ever had, and the new fabrics and colors are beautiful. And this year they have wonderful imported materials in cashmere and tweed. Scotland, France, Italy, and England are big sources for the finest fabrics, and they've trimmed many of these imports with their own fine furs to add still further beauty and versatility. You save a lot of money on a winter coat, cloth, or a fur trim cloth, or fur, when you shop at the Flemington Fur Company in Flemington, New Jersey. They're open Monday through Friday to 9 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday to 6 o'clock, and it's a good idea to go early in the week to avoid large weekend crowds. The Flemington Fur Company at Flemington, New Jersey, 1,000% reliable fur people, and they don't know anything about high-pressure methods. You shop over there, and you'll enjoy it. Then I have a letter from Betty Dixon, who lives on 63rd Street in Brooklyn, and she says, "Speaking of art, as a housewife, I can do wonderful things with Westchester chicken and arrange a platter that would delight a gourmet." There, that's the kind of girl I like. She likes to cook, and she knows she does it well, and she's just out with it. Our Westchester bone chicken is a useful product, and you can do marvelous things with it. It's the perfect answer for many occasions when you want to prepare an interesting meal with very little effort. Perfect for luncheon sandwiches, of course, excellent for picnics, and fine for salads as well as for various hot dishes, buffet dinners, and you can whip up a chicken casserole in just minutes if you have Westchester bone chicken on hand. It's made by the makers of the famous Herbox Bouillon Cubes, and it's carefully prepared under the supervision of the United States Department of Agriculture. Look for that name, Westchester, in a complete line of delicious chicken products at your favorite grocery store, but do try the Westchester bone chicken. This is a superior product, and I think you're in for quite a surprise. You'll be surprised at how delicious it is, Westchester bone chicken. And now we get back to Jean Porterfield and Lisa Chickering. Chickering. We better stay with that name for a minute, hadn't we? Because it was your grandfather who was the Boston Chickering, the piano Chickering.
That's right, yes.
You told me that he invented the iron sounding board and the piano.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found that out from encyclopedia. No one had passed that knowledge down through the family, which is a terrible thing.
Did you know him, that grandfather?
No, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. He was actually my great-grandfather, Jonas Chickering.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I didn't know him. He was the one that started the piano in Boston. Uh-huh. And then they moved to Chicago, the uh-huh. sons, and that's where I came from, Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And Porter, are you related to Bob Porterfield, who runs
yes.
the theater in Virginia?
As a matter of fact, I am. We're cousins, and I've worked down there for him at Barter.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Before we took this trip, I was down there.
Yeah. He's a nice fellow. I used to know him quite well when he was in New York a long
Isn't
time
he, though?
Ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now we've organized the family background.
Yes.
I left you in Greece, didn't I?
Yes, I think you did.
Mm-hmm. I better That's get right. you out of there.
Yeah, back to the
But we might sort of stop here. You said you were able to live in every country pretty inexpensively.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
right.
that you didn't live in the kind of places where the tourist goes. And
oh, never.
You know
that
what is places. So important, even for a wealthy tourist, really, they'd get so much more out of traveling if they did stay in the out-of-the-way hotels and inns. Because actually, if you stay in the luxury hotels in Europe, was very nice, but you might as well stay right here in New York.
In a big hotel.
That's right, mm. because it's identical. Mm. Even in India, the hotel, the finest hotel there, is like an American hotel. It's like the St. Regis or the Plaza, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, but if you've gone all the way to India, you certainly don't want to stay in an American hotel. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we did it for the economical reasons, but no matter how much money I would have, I would absolutely stay in these little places where, even though they don't speak the language, English. Hmm. You can manage.
Oh, you can always get along.
Of course. Where were you in India?
Well, we went to New Delhi and down to Agra to see the Taj Mahal and Jaipur, the Pink City. We rode on elephants and we went to Amber and then even up to Kashmir, up to Srinagar mm-hmm. and lived on a houseboat. And incidentally, speaking of a houseboat, the other day I read an article in a paper. And it was of a person who had gone to Srinagar and said, never stay on a houseboat, stay in the luxury hotel. But the houseboat is one of the most fabulous experiences. We had a living room. Now, this is right in the middle of Lake Dal.
It is a houseboat.
In
oh,
the
it's a
center
rainbow.
Of the Himalayas. It's absolutely Shangri-La. And it's a real houseboat. And we had a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, two bedrooms, two baths. We had four servants, a shikara, which is the Kashmirian gondola. And we had three meals a day. And we could say to the cook, who did speak English, because the English, when they were occupying England, India, they always went there on their vacations. So we would tell him, we want Tibetan food tonight, or Indian food, or European. And all of that cost us $7 a day for both of us. Everything. Our food, our boat, mm-hmm. our That's little right. Shikara, everything. So when Most I read in the paper place. Advising Americans to stay in the luxury hotel, don't take a trip to Kashmir to stay in a hotel.
$7 for both of you.
For both of us, yes.
And this Every elaborate day. Suite with four servants.
Yes, it's beautiful,
and tea,
beautiful
every
boat.
Afternoon
yes.
and service.
Well, you know, he'd take us to the Shalimar Gardens, which is so magnificent.
It's you mean the man who ran your boat?
Yes,
your chauffeur.
That's right, Adu. Mm-hmm. That was his name, yes. And he would take us, and in the shikara, well, he'd take us for lunch in the Shalimar Gardens and spread one of these fascinating materials on the ground, and then he would serve us our lunch. Then he would take us all around, the four oarsmen, taking us at any speed we wanted to go through. And then at about 4 o'clock, he must have thought we were English, in the back, in a samovar, they would prepare hot tea for us. With a, naturally, that's not a, they would put the coals in and blow on the coals, and we would be served hot tea in our boat in the middle of Lake Dal. Now, that's pretty wonderful, and you can't get that.
Oh, this I like. Tell me more.
Well, when we see the movies of it, we want to go right back because it is the most ideal place in the world.
Well, it's a real Shangri-La.
It is.
Gorgeous. I've never seen such a beautiful place.
The houseboat.
Oh, the whole community.
The whole community.
You're surrounded by the snow-capped Himalayas. And mm-hmm. The most beautiful setting in the world.
Of all the world, it is. All the world we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And also very reasonable.
Oh, I guess so. $7 a day for two with the food.
Well, we can beat Everybody. That. Everybody's heard of Mallorca, Palma. And we had
sure.
We had a beautiful room overlooking the ocean and everything with all our meals, $3 a day for two.
In Mallorca?
In Mallorca, mm-hmm. yes.
See why you ever left.
No, $90
I've thought of that myself since I've been back in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prices have skyrocketed since we've been gone, so. We just think we'll go back to Mallorca forever. Or Shangri-La, up to Kashmir.
You were in India a long time then?
Well, no, about
not
a,
too long,
a month.
Actually, about a month.
Mm-hmm. Did you work there?
No, I didn't. You see, I worked in Istanbul just before that.
And saved your money.
Yes, I had a wonderful engagement at the Istanbul Hilton, and this was a place I was very nervous because it was the first... different type audience, you know, with different customs and all. We had been working with European audiences and lots of English-speaking people, but this was the first completely Turkish audience. So I was just very worried that Lisa would get over to these people. But she always did. She adapted herself just beautifully to the new audience, the new situation, and she just won them over completely.
What kind of act did she do?
Well, she does show tunes and special material. She sings numbers in French and in Spanish. And, she plays the piano, too.
Well, I should
hope being
so.
A Chickering, naturally.
If Miss Chickering doesn't play the piano, she can leave.
Goodbye.
Yes.
Well, you know, I must interrupt here for just 1 second, because in Egypt, we had some friends that we met there take us to see belly dancers. Now, you just don't go to Egypt without seeing a belly dancer.
Well, of course.
Oh.
So, I was very shocked, and I said, imagine. And they said, well, this is our way of life here. So on New Year's Eve at the Istanbul Hilton, they said, well, I hope, Ms. Chickering, you don't mind, but tonight, you know, it is a Turkish audience, and you're going to have to share your billing with a belly dancer. So this is the first time I ever had a competition of a belly dancer and was on the same show with one, which was a new and novel experience.
Well, tell me about her.
Well, my, I don't know if I should. But
oh, go on, I'm older than you.
Well, the bangles were going, and you know that here was this... of course, it was an amazing New Year's Eve because there were 5,000 people from all over Europe. It was the first New Year's Eve that the Istanbul Hilton had been in existence. So it really was a fantastic thing with emerald tiaras, diamonds the size of, what would you say, an orange. I've never seen. It really looked like a stage setting. Mm-hmm. But the Turkish people in that audience, when this woman did her belly dance... they lost their minds. And so I think maybe I should incorporate it in my act. But they really do love it. It's a standard part of their entertainment.
The show isn't complete to those people without a belly dancer.
This is an old Egyptian custom.
All the Middle East.
Muslims. Mm-hmm. All the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. It is
but Lisa awesome. Held her own beautifully.
Well, I don't know how to take that.
This is carrying press agentry too far.
Yes,
it really is.
What does that have to do with you?
I don't know. I think your press agent has gone too far.
I'm going to tell you, she was the belly dancer.
Good Malaya. Have you girls been home to Chicago yet?
Well, we drove through. And drove out again. But we just stayed a couple of days to say hello to family and get back here.
Oh, about $5,000. You didn't tell this story.
Well, no, I didn't.
Leave this one out for the family in Chicago. Well, when you came back, you landed on the West Coast.
Yes. You know, I'd lived in San Francisco for a while, and I had sat out there and looked at that Golden Gate and dreamed of the faraway places and the Orient that laid on the other side of the water, but never, ever once dreamed I would come through that Golden Gate from the other end, ever, from the West, coming east. So that was really a very thrilling experience, going under the Golden Gate to me.
Well, where did you end up anyway? Where were you at the time you sailed to come home?
Tokyo. I'd finished an engagement in the Imperial Hotel there. And then we sailed from Yokohama on a cargo ship.
There was no place else to go.
So why you don't advise anyone to stay in these big hotels? You did work in.
Well, when I sing in them, yes, because for several reasons. First of all, naturally, I want to sing in them, but we also get our room and all our food plus the salary.
Oh.
So I think then,
that's
by all means,
everyone say to go on to the next place.
Mm-hmm. Who took care of the money? You?
Yes. Oh, I took care of the money.
I think that's good, because in the little bit I've seen of her, she probably would just lose it on the way or something.
Well,
would buy baubles and stuff.
Yes, maybe a cobra from India.
Anyway, the last engagement was in Tokyo.
Yes, it was, and before that, Hong Kong. And speaking of Hong Kong, it was so funny. It was a Peninsula Hotel there, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I was singing this song, and Gene always would tell them what lighting effects to have, because that's an important part of a show, are the lighting effects. And suddenly, here I was singing this love song, and I was bathed in a deep green light, looking like Fu Manchu's wife.
It was terrible, and
a
I discovered...
Yes! Thank you, Miss Dean.
I discovered that a little busboy, instead of the electrician, was doing the lights. I don't know how he got there or why, but for the first time in my life, I had to work the lights myself and get that terrible green thing off of her.
Yes, he had a preference for green. He thought, plitty, really plitty, he would say. Green plitty.
Now, what did you do in Hong Kong when you weren't working?
Well, a very wonderful thing, actually, that all women are interested in. We had clothes made.
That's what I want to know about.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's a heaven for clothes.
Well, in Bangkok, in Thailand, they have this beautiful material that you saw in The King and I, the movie. If you noticed, it was the most beautiful material possible. In fact, this suit I have is this Thai silk. And we bought this material in Bangkok and then went on to Hong Kong and had the most beautiful clothes made from every kind of thing that you can think of. Suits, cocktail dresses, shoes, bags, and a suit there that would cost you, with material and beautiful workmanship, a suit that would sell in the United States, in New York, for $350 to $500 is $75 there. So, it's just a woman's paradise.
And they make the thing so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful workmanship.
What a good idea to get the material in Thailand.
Yes.
And take it to Hong
Kong. Because it's more expensive in Hong Kong. If you buy the silk in Hong Kong, it's a little more.
So you had a lot of clothes made. Did you have shoes made, too?
Yes.
Shoes, bags. We don't wear hats, but I suppose they make hats, too.
They make anything. Gloves, everything you have that you want to wear, they will make.
And they do it very quickly, don't they?
Well, yes, they do.
It's better to work with them, though, more slowly. We had the time, so we took the time.
But it was like a movie set. Here we were in this hotel, and they would be lined up, the different dressmakers, outside of the door, and as the engagement was coming to an end, and the clothes weren't ready, I called them and said, you've got to hurry this now, because they knew we had time. And there they were lined outside of the door, about six of them. And they'd come in, we'd have fittings, and then they'd rush out, and it was a very funny scene. And the ama that the owner of the hotel gave us was there and trying to keep everything right. That's the maid, they call them in China. But that is certainly something that all women would love.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy beautiful materials in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. The English woolens are there. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of coats and ball suits made, everything.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to Tokyo.
Yes,
then
and that to is probably one reason we came back on a cargo ship. But by then we were so overweight. Because
and we couldn't have flown.
Well, it was just something awful. You know, in Amsterdam, before leaving to fly to Tokyo, there's this very wonderful system. Your ticket is good for 1 year, and you can stop at all these places, which we did from Baghdad on, all through the Orient and Asia. But it was $8 a pound overweight. So in Amsterdam, they said, now we're going to let you get as far as Amsterdam from Paris, because they said this will be a gift for you. We started throwing out everything from pencils to bobby pins and everything so we wouldn't be overweight. Because my music weighs 25 pounds and the gowns weigh a great deal. So we were traveling as far as personal clothes very, extremely lightly.
Very few things.
So from Hong Kong, our weight was enormous. And we did have to pay overweight to get to Tokyo.
You're talking about your baggage. You're not talking about the two of you gaining so much weight.
No. Although we did gain a lot of weight in Vienna. They have the most wonderful food there that I have ever eaten.
Here we are back to
Vienna. Wiener schnitzel and sauerkraut and dumplings. And divine food there. And we gained weight.
But we lost it in the Orient because it's...
Of all the places you went, did you like the food best in Vienna?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Did you?
Oh,
yes.
Loved it.
There in Holland. Of course, you see, we do have more of the American taste. We really, when they cook with so much oil in the Latin countries, it's very hard when you're living there. Mm-hmm. If you're going there for 2 weeks, I don't think it would bother anybody.
That wouldn't matter. But
when you live month in and month out in a country and have to eat your food saturated with olive oil, it's very hard. So Holland is just wonderful for food and Vienna, Innsbruck, Austria, in other words.
Did you like Japanese food in Tokyo?
Yes, especially a sukiyaki, or sukiyaki, as they call it. Now, that was delicious, but some of the other dishes I wasn't too keen on. Seaweed and... I can't think of them
bird's
all.
Bird's nest?
Yes, that type thing.
Did you eat a bird's nest?
No, I wasn't brave enough.
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I didn't remember that.
Bird's nest soup, isn't it called?
Yes.
Yes, oh, I did. I liked it.
Did you?
And I like shark fin soup.
Yes, the shark fin
But in Japan, we always we said to each other, now, this is one trip in a million, and so we'll probably never do it again. So when we were in a country, even in Europe, we said we lived as they did, stayed where the Europeans stayed. Well, we said, now that we're in Japan, we're going to stay where the Japanese stay. Well, this is outside of the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, when we went to Kyoto and Nara and Nikko. And we stayed in the Japanese inns, where you sleep on the floor, and it is wonderful. It's comfortable.
Very comfortable.
But the funniest thing is, you have this little girl that comes in, and you're sitting on the floor eating dinner, and she gives you individually each bite of food you're going to take. You can imagine how long dinner takes.
And she feeds you.
She feeds
you.
Yes, that's it.
And Americans do want to get on with the business. We want to eat our dinner. And she would sit there and give me a little tiny piece of meat. And really, I mean a little tiny piece that I could barely... And you have to eat with chopsticks. I could barely get it up on the chopsticks. But then she'd give me a couple of little pieces of rice. And this went on.
And dinner would go on into the night.
Yes.
That happened every time you ate in a Japanese inn.
In a Japanese inn. That's the way they did it.
Naturally, we couldn't convey to them because in the provinces, they do not speak a word of English. So when we would speak to them and say, well, now, of course, it was ridiculous to try, but we would say, why don't you give us all of it at once, and then you can go. They'd laugh and laugh, and then their friends would come in and sit and watch us as we'd eat. They were fascinated with us. And so all we could do was get laughter back at everything we said.
And we amused them greatly.
Well, now, I gather you didn't have any problems at all, financial, social, or otherwise.
No.
You just lived in foreign countries for 3 years, just the two of you.
Yes,
that's true. There were no great problems. It was a wonderful, exciting experience, and I'd love to do it all over again.
Mm-hmm. Why did you come back?
Where else was there to go?
Yes, we were
we were in Tokyo.
Of course, there's Africa. I could maybe sing. I'm going to ask Jean. Of course, I haven't asked her before this, but maybe I should now. She can't say no. Maybe she can get me a booking with the pygmies in Africa. They maybe would like a singer down there.
You could probably spend...
Oh, I think we could manage it.
She could speak Ukawaki or whatever.
As a matter of fact, the English people did want her to come to Cape Town.
And Johannesburg.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What did you do with it? How many cars did you have altogether?
Well, actually, we had two. We wore out one. Our first year in Europe, we had a little Renault. And we actually wore it threadbare. The tires, there was nothing left.
Mm. 14 months it was, and we drove 40,000 miles in that little car. Mm-hmm. And it nearly wore us out, too, because it's not like a Volkswagen.
So you sold it?
Yes, mm-hmm. We did. And do you know that, can you imagine, each one of us lost $125 on it. In other words, reselling it, we got $250 less than we paid for it 14 months later, and we had seen all of Europe, which is quite a recommendation. People should buy their little cars over there instead of rent them and never take an American car. See, I'm redoing all of America.
Well, it's too expensive.
Oh, yes. And another thing, you know, the little streets there are so narrow, it's very difficult to manipulate an American car in the little narrow streets.
But you'd be surprised how many Americans take their cars.
But they're expensive to buy, and they're expensive to transport.
Oh, it's much wiser to buy a little car over there.
And what did you do with the second one?
We sold that.
You drove it how far?
About 15,000. 15 or 20,000.
We drove all through Yugoslavia and Greece and back up through Italy. And we had that over in England.
Up through the Scandinavian countries we drove that too.
You were in the Scandinavian countries too?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you mentioned that.
Oh, well.
It's hard to remember everything, actually.
Mm-hmm. No, well, it was between engagements in England, and they said, if you want to take a two-week trip, why, you can run up and see the Scandinavian countries. And up to this point, as you probably have gathered, we took a long time to seeing things. So 2 weeks we had to do all of the Scandinavian countries. But it's sort of funny, two Englishmen, it certainly gives you an idea of what Europeans think of us as far as speedy travelers. They wrote a wonderful song for me that's about an American tourist that sees all of Europe in a week. And it is so funny that even when I do it, I think it's just wonderful. But this is one time I did follow that song. We just zipped into Norway and went to Sweden and into Holland and Denmark because we had to be back for another engagement.
Well, I'm glad you came home for no other reason than I was able to have you on the Martha Dean program because it's really been great fun.
Well,
we certainly enjoyed it, too.
Now, what are you going to do now, work in New York?
Well, my agent is lining up hotels and in the United States, supper club engagements.
Good. I want to tell you all again that our guests today have been Lisa Chickering and Jean Porterfield. Before we go, I want to tell you about Shirley Long Island. Walter T. Shirley has provided spacious home sites just minutes from the ocean with nearby stores and movies and schools and employment opportunities, costing less than $600 and 3 years to pay, summer homes from $29.95, year-round homes from $69.90, and easy FHA terms, too. You can live near beautiful beaches, and there are places to keep a boat, too, and yet be only 60 miles from New York. It's a nice drive out there today if you're thinking what you might, where you might go, where you might drive this afternoon. Any parkway to Patchogue, then 7 miles east on the Montauk Highway to Shirley Model Home Village, opposite Howard Johnson's. That's any parkway to Patchogue, 7 miles east on the Montauk Highway to Shirley Model Home Village, opposite Howard Johnson's. Incidentally, I talked about this development at Shirley Long Island a week ago, and two of our listeners have already bought homes out there. This kind of pleases me. I'm really very pleased about it. So if you drive out to Shirley Long Island, you might ask to see the lots and the plans of other Martha Dean listeners. Now, one more thing, and that's to tell you that you get excellent breakfasts, club breakfast beginning at 45 cents at Schraff's. Everybody knows that you get good luncheons and good dinners at Schraff's, but some of you may not know that they have club breakfasts at all the Schraff's restaurants beginning at 45 cents. Our guest tomorrow morning is the famous Alan D. Cruikshank, the Audubon Society's favorite photographer. Until then, goodbye, everybody.